This is an AMI podcast.
Describe your culinary style in two words.
Punk rock.
Mary Mammoliti is cooking things up.
I really do love to cook. It's a way of taking care of people.
Contrary to Seinfeld, soup can be a meal.
Now I'm losing the vision in my left eye, and making pizzas has become a real challenge, but I still love it.
I noticed that with cooking, whenever there's food involved, whether we have sight or not, if you have that passion for it, it all turns out the same.
Kitchen Confession, new episodes every second Wednesday. Download this AMI podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Manitoba, enjoy Kelly and Company right from your TV. We're available on channel MTS 704 and Bell. You guys can find us on channel 49. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. Kelly McDonald here, host of the program with Ramya Muthan.
And on the second Tuesday of every month, we like to check in with our freelance journalist, Megan Gilmer.
Being legally blind means that I always have to find new ways to find things. And I think journalism is a lot like that, too. I'm Megan Gilmore. I'm a freelance journalist, and here are some of the things I've found recently.
So, Megan, is it the second Tuesday of the month or the third? Third,
it's
right?
It's the third, but it was all confusing this month because of, like, when the month started, and don't worry, yeah. Ramya, I was confused as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Yeah.
I almost came on last week. Right.
That's right. I am not going to lie to you. I almost asked you for a script last week. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let me just double check.
Yeah, I kind of was confused by that too, because Megs was checking in with us. And I was like, oh, is Meg up? Oh, is it that time of the month? Wow, yeah. This month's really moving. But then
it's weird because it's moving, but it's not moving, right? It's all confusing.
That's called COVID-19, Ramya.
Right. And Jan. So as COVID-19 continues, Megan, so does the need to make sure that everyone has food during this time. And that's kind of the prequel of what you're going to talk about today. You want to tell us about how the Disability Justice Network of Ontario is fighting food insecurity in specifically Hamilton, Ontario. So what is the Disability Justice Network of Ontario?
Sure. So the DJNO, if you just want to, you know, keep it with less syllables, mm-hmm. is an advocacy organization, as we said, based out of Hamilton, and they do research and advocacy around issues impacting justice and access for disabled people. So that would include things like, in Ontario, looking at triage protocols during the pandemic about who has access to which medical resources. That's also included asking questions about vaccinations. When I was speaking to their staff, they mentioned how Hamilton has the highest per capita incident of people with disabilities. So it's really looking at it as a social issue and what are some of the systemic social policies around disability, and then also like practical things. And then also just a little note, last month we were talking about the role that race can play in disability organizing and organizations. DJNO has always had a significant number of staff who are people of color. So their work does also look at different communities that people will be involved in.
It's interesting when you talk about the pandemic and how that's such a concern for people who are maybe English is a second language, maybe they barely have it, or just concerns of people of color not being represented properly, being given proper information. So, Meg, let's talk a little bit about caremongering. What is it?
Well, the word itself, I've learned, is kind of a play on the word scaremongering. Right. Or like fear mongering. So it's an opposite of that. Instead of trying to make people afraid, you're trying to reach out to them and give them care. So it as a movement is when people study it, they'll talk about care mongering as being something that began on social media platforms, predominantly Facebook. And we saw it at the beginning of these lockdowns where people would just great groups or write posts saying that they needed something, whether that be food or practical things like PPE or toilet paper. And then those in the community would crowdsource it and give it to them. So what that means practically for DJNO is in March, they started doing their own care mongering for people who live in Hamilton specifically who need, let's say, groceries or basic hygienic items.
Yes, we saw it and see it still all over the place. Really incredible. How do people request groceries? That's a big one.
So DJNO has an online form that you can access at their website, or then they have a dedicated phone number and email address for care mongering specifically. And as this has gone on, because they've been doing this since March 2020, so we're getting up to a year, they have a specific staff team designated for this. So that's actually who I got my information from. I got it from the volunteer, well, actually the staff who does their phones. So that is, it's a concentrated and a designated part of their organization's work right now.
Meg, any idea how many people DJNO served?
So that as of last week, they were estimating about 2,000 meals.
Wow.
Since this started. And that is, on average, it would be about 60 to 80 families a week. And most of their food and supplies has come from community donations. So people who just donate money and help them be able to go out and get the resources that they need. And then they have cleaning protocols with it, so all the items are sanitized, and then delivery and pickup is contactless.
Wow, tall order and really impressive.
Yeah. So in recent months, the DJNO care mongering has started serving another group of Hamiltonians. Can you tell us about that?
Hamilton, like many cities, has always had encampments of people who don't have homes. So, you live outside. Often we think of it as tents. And that's increased during the pandemic. It's increased in its visibility. And in the past few months, DJNO has really started focusing on giving care mongering to people who are living in these encampments throughout Hamilton. So that's expanded what they give and the resources that they need to be able to provide these things. So, you know, it starts out as food and groceries. When you're providing care for somebody who's living in an encampment, it means getting tents, getting sleeping bags, getting thermal clothing. So they've been working to bring that to those individuals, and they've joined with a grassroots organization that's begun in the last few months called the Hamilton Encampment Support Network. I'm speaking to you from Toronto, and people may be aware that there were a series of legal challenges being raised in Toronto in terms of how people who live in Toronto parks were being treated during the pandemic. That's the same concern in Hamilton. So there were also similar legal actions being taken to protect the rights of people who are homeless during lockdowns and shutdowns.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it, or they talk about it a lot on the news here. We talk about it as a conversation. Londoners here, it's just really scary, the position some people are put in. Now, friends of mine with disabilities, here's another interesting thing that I kind of want to throw in here. How does disability influence food insecurity?
Sure. So just to be clear, like, while the Disability Justice Network of Ontario is the one providing this care mongering service that we're speaking about, they provide care mongering to people who don't have disabilities as well. Right. So disability isn't necessarily a requirement for receiving their food. But there is a strong link between disability and food insecurity. So again, the staff I was speaking to, they were telling me about their experiences going to see people who are living in encampments. And there are people with disabilities who are homeless living in encampments. But then on a broader level, there's some research that would indicate that people with disabilities or receiving social assistance for disability are more likely to need services like a food bank, or specific disabilities might increase your chances of experiencing food insecurity. So there was a researcher out of Toronto a few months ago who released research about those who have mobility disabilities. And she concluded from her research that adults with mobility disabilities, so that's walking, could be up to 4 times more likely to struggle with food insecurity as opposed to those who don't have a mobility disability. And that really broadens out the conversation of what food insecurity is. It has to do with how you access food, right? So if you can't get to your grocery store reliably, you're experiencing food insecurity. If your kitchen is not set up in an accessible way for you to store or prepare your food safely, you're experiencing food insecurity as well. The disability angle just kind of broadens it out even to how we even understand what it means to have insecure food access.
Yes, no kidding. It's really eye-opening, Megan, and especially at this time when we're starting to become more cognizant of things like this, even within the disability community, of what we face and what our neighbors face and things like that. So it's great to have something like caremongering that's so generally helpful for a lot of people. So how big is it across the country, across Canada?
Mm-hmm. So there was... there's a study from McMaster University that came out, I think, like last week, like literally as I was putting your script together. And they just did research about caremongering groups that had been established shortly after the pandemic lockdown measures really began in earnest in Canada, so back in March. And these researchers found evidence of caremongering in all provinces and territories across Canada, in large urban settings, but also in rural areas as well. And they were studying the engagement of Facebook groups about caremongering, and some were very active. You'd see dozens, in some cases hundreds of posts a day. And that's both people saying, hey, I need this, and other people saying, hey, I have this. I can give it out to you and share it. So it works both ways.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, how can people find more information about disability just at Network of Ontario's Caremongering?
Sure. One of the best places would probably be their website. It's just djno.ca. They are also very active on Twitter, Disability Justice Network of Ontario there. If you would like caremongering specifically, there is an email address for that. It's care@djno.ca, care@djno.ca. Or you can call the phone number associated with it, 289-933-1963.
Amazing. Well, thanks for sharing all that information and kind of bringing in all this information specifically about this network, because we were talking earlier with Time Out editor, magazine editor, James, and the thing that's really making a difference this year and last year and just around this time is the local supports, the local caregiving, in this case, caremongering. And I think that a lot of us are just starting to notice what's around us, right? In terms of what's staying up, what's wasn't able to stay up because of the lack of support, finances, whatever it may be. And it's crucial to kind of realize that these people, these networks, the organizations have helped us stand through these tough times, right? And for individuals, it's different. Maybe it's groceries for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just the fact that you can't get out of the house and somebody needed to drop off things for you. But a lot of these organizations have helped our own neighborhoods survive the pandemic. So it's super important. And we appreciate the highlights.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like we talk about COVID-19 in such large words, right? Like it's a global pandemic and the prime minister is having national press conferences every day. But people experience it on a very local level. You experience it in where you're living, whether that is an apartment or a tent or a park.
Exactly.
And yeah, so it really does come down to a lot of local supports. And they, you know, the staff at DJNO is very honest about the fact that this program arose out of a gap in local services. Anyone who's followed Hamilton, Ontario for the last decade or so knows that poverty has been a big public concern for that community. It's been pointed out by organizations, including the United Nations. But even with that recognition, there's gaps, and you know, like their staffers telling me, like, we can't solve all the systemic problems Mm-mm. that lead to this, but we can get you groceries, we can get you a tent, get you clothes to wear. We are still in winter, friends, and people are going to need to be safe and to be warm to survive this.
Yeah, and people appreciate it, and the support is just absolutely wonderful to see it there. They're doing great work.
Yes. Thank you, Megan. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next month.
All right, on the third Tuesday of February.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for
I'll leave it to you guys to keep track.
Megan Gilmore, she's our freelance journalist who joins us once a month and features amazing stories. Today she was highlighting the Disability Justice Network of Ontario.
And I assume on this Tuesday, once a month as well, this is when voices come up. So after Megan, voices. We'll get into our voices segment today, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.